Welcome you to this special Mighty Turnaround Testimony Service. This is officially the part two of Mighty Turnaround Testimony. I want to say day two, yes. Technically, it's our day two because we started last Sunday as day one. This is technically day two. Next Sunday will be day three. Do you expect something? Are you expecting God to bless you today? All right. So I'm going to continue sharing on that subject, growing in the Word. All right, growing in the Word. So Luke chapter 8 verse 11. Let's quickly go there to Luke 8 verse 11. Hallelujah. Now it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Say with me, the seed. Say with me, the seed is the word of God. Now every seed has potential in it. Every seed has the potential to become a forest. Every seed has the potential to bring forth other seed. Every seed has the potential to bring forth other trees. Every seed contains life. But when you look at a seed, it looks ordinarily, it looks dormant. It looks inactive. But you realize that the reason why that seed is not bringing forth the life that it ought to bring forth is because it's not in the right environment yet. Do you agree with me? So even though the seed is potent, the seed can bring forth fruit. It can bring forth life. It can do so many wonderful things, but it's currently inactive. The seed is currently dormant. The seed appears lifeless. Because why? It is not in the right environment. Now, in agriculture, the environment for the seed to germinate, the environment for the seed to bring forth the life, the inherent life that is in that seed is the soil. The soil has all the nutrients to tear that seed apart and bring forth the life that is in it. The soil has the component and everything that is needed to turn that seed around from what appears to be dormant to something that begins to bring forth life in it. And when it brings forth that life, the same seed that appears as though nothing can happen in it, all of a sudden you see leaf coming out. And as time goes on, you see, that same seed brings forth its own kind. And everybody begins to rejoice and celebrate that seed. Now, if the word of God is a seed, then what is the environment with which that word thrives? What is the environment with which that word grows, is metamorphosed to bring forth the inherent potential and life that is in it? Well, that environment is our hearts. So look at it again. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. It says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So our heart is the soil of the spirit. Our heart has everything to bring forth life from the word. Now, when we use the word heart, it's not the physical heart that is pumping blood. Most of the time, the word heart is just used to express the innermost part of our being. The innermost part of our being. The hidden man. The kairos man. The unseen man. So when the Bible uses the word heart, and those of you who are joining online, I want to welcome you. All right, can we put a hand together for all our online audience? God bless you. I know God is blessing you through that. So at most of the places that you use, the Bible uses the word heart, there are two things that are used interchangeably. Is it the soul or the heart or the spirit, I mean. But figuratively, what it's saying is the hidden part of you that cannot be seen. There are other dimensions of you. Now, every human being has three dimensions. The spirit, the soul, and the body. And I need you to listen to this part very well, because this is what will help the word of God flourish in your life and start bringing forth fruits. Most of the time, Some of us have the concept that the spirit is an individual, the soul is another individual, and the body is another individual. No. There is only one person, and that is the spirit. You are not three persons. You are only one person. You are an individual. You are a person. But there are three dimensions to this personality. I am one person. I'm a spirit man. The real you is the spirit. Now, I want to explain something to you so that you understand it very well. I'm using an iPad. There is only one iPad. I call it the iPad. But there is a component in the iPad that helps me to interact with it. Even in the computer. That component is the one that interprets all the operations that it has been programmed to do. In fact, in the world of computer, you divide it into two parts, the software and the hardware. The hardware is the physical part of the computer. But you realize that that hardware, even though it has so many features, the keyboard is there, the screen is there, maybe if you're using the CD-ROM is there, or the RAM is, you know, so many features. But those features are useless without the program that has been written into it. So when you are typing, there is something that helps the computer to know everything you're saying. And that is a central processing unit. It's called the processor itself. So in this hardware that I have, there is a part of it called the processor. And the manufacturer knows that how powerful a computer is not by the size. It's by the power of that processor that is there. So you don't say because a computer is physically big, it is powerful. That is why today we have our smartphone. What makes today's smartphone different from the Nokia is the processor that is there. There is, you know, even though when you see some older phones, they look so big. I don't know whether some of you have seen Turaya and all those big phones. But we have smaller devices today that can do much more than that. Why? Because the processor has been improved upon. Now, but I still call it a phone. I will not say the processor is another phone. Will I say that? No. The processor is needed for that phone to work. Now, that processor is your soul. The processor that God has put in a man to interpret all the things that God wants to do in his life. To be able to relate both with his physical world and comprehend what is coming from the spiritual world is the soul. So the soul has three parts. Some say four. The emotions, the will, and the intellect, the intelligent part of it. The will, the emotion, and the intelligence. And also some say, or not, the conscience. The conscience. See, the soul is our central processing unit. But the soul is not a person that is different from you. That's why some say that the brain is like the soul. No. Even the brain is dormant, because just as the computer is dormant, without the right programming, right? That's why you see that the same computer, when virus attacks it, begins to misbehave. It does not even know what it's doing sometimes. So your soul is not another person that is independent of you. It's the powerhouse of our life. It's the one that holds all the information. It's not the hard drive. Because even the hard drive is your brain. You see, the hard drive is your brain. That's why people suffer from amnesia. They can forget. But it does not mean that their soul is not there anymore. So the hard drive of our life is the brain. That is where all the informations are stored and everything is stored. But what determines, what does that retrieval, what does all those processes, is your soul. It is where your intelligence is. It's where you express your mind, your will, your emotions. And that is why you realize that there are two ways I can do something to you. If I want to harm you, for instance, I can cause pain by maybe if I slap a person physically now. Please come, brother. I'm not slapping you, but come. Come. Because when you picture speaks louder. This is a person. So he has a soul. How you believe that there is a soul? Let me tell you something. If I want to say something to him now, or if I want to do something, if I want to inflict pain, there are two ways I can inflict pain on this person. Number one, physically. Physically. The hardware, right? So if I slap him, if I punch him, if I kick him, he's going to react, right? Now, it will feel something. But do you know that there is another way I can make him cry without touching him? And what is that? I can begin to speak words to him. I can invoke something in him without, and he will begin to cry without even me touching him. I don't know whether some of you went to the kind of school, secondary school I started my life, all right? I grew up in Bariga. And Bariga is full of, and not just Bariga, the central part. I grew up in the Ilaje part of Bariga. So it's like the ghetto, it's like the Ajegunle of Bariga. And one of the things we know is that instead of learning to use our hand, because there are a lot of area boys where we grew up, we've learned to use our mouth. And when we're young, there is a colloquial term we use for such thing. We call it messing. I don't know whether you say, so I will mess you, let's mess. In fact, we used to go around and say, let's mess. Do I have a witness here? Do I have a witness here? Say, let's mess. And somebody can stay with you and you start. You're not tall, you're not short, you look like Mother Guinness bottle. I always remember that one because I was so short. So they used to start with me with that one. Then somebody say, as tall as the rain, as thin as this, and as thin as thinner. Then, you know, by the time that your classmates sometimes finish with you, you can start crying. Or some of us, they look at a particular future of your life and they turn it to harassment. They can call you Ori. Ori Mogoje. They can even call you, take your name and spoil it for you. And each time they say those things, it invokes what in you? Pain. Now, they are not touching you. What is it that is feeling the pain? Your soul. There is a part of you called the soul. Now, there's the third part, which is the real you, is the spirit. Is the spirit. The spirit is the unseen part of you, and that's the real you. I'm going to show you in the Bible how God created the two. So you see, the spirit is the one God needs to relate with. You are a spirit being. You have a soul. And God has packaged both of you, all that, in this physical component called body. The body, when is, you know, when software guys finish doing the hardware, by the time they install the software, there's something called license. They give that software license so that you can use it, so that it can operate around you. The license to operate in this world is called the body. The body gives your spirit and your soul the license, the visa, the ticket to enter into this world and operate in it. So there are two wombs. Physical womb births the body into this world. But when it's time for that body to go, there's another womb that takes it from this world to the where it came from. That is death. Death is another womb. It gives another access to another world. That's why it's called transitioning. It's not the end. I want you to get me very well. So this man is not the body. If it's just about the body, then anything the body cannot feel, cannot relate to it, does not exist. But don't you realize that even when you're physically asleep, somehow you have dreams. You see yourself. And somehow you are able to see people that you know, and you still know them. Because that information is not stored in the outer part. It's stored in your mind. I hope this is clear. Now, let's look at the... Thank you. Put a hand together for him, please. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go first to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you something. Genesis 1, verse 27. Look at it. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, created he him, male and female. Created he them. Watch it now. Who is this man that God just created? Because you are going to see another man again. There are two men. Or there were two men in the garden, in a certain sense. So the first one, the Bible uses the word, God created man in his own image, in the likeness of God, created he them. Now go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7, everybody. And the Lord God, Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God did what? And the Lord God did what? Formed man out of what? The dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became what? Now, do you see the two dimensions? The first one was not created out of the dust. He said that one was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. That was the spirit of man that was created. So God created that spirit. Then he formed the encasement, the hardware, for that software to reside. You see, when a programmer is programming a software, he knows what he wants, what that software is going to do. That's why you see the software for your phone cannot work on the computer, because it's not programmed like that. So God had to run that code first. He ran the code, and he knew by the time he finished the code, then he had to release that code, that software, into this hardware. So he formed. So programming, you do everything with typing and everything like that. But hardware needs to be formed. They take the hardware to the factory. You don't run program in the factory. Program is running with a mind. Programmers running with a mind. He knows he has an intention. He knows what he wants. So you see somebody just writing different codes from morning to night. But by the time he finishes, he runs that code. Then he looks for the appropriate hardware that code has been developed to run in, which is not the software, and he installs it on it. So God took the body in Genesis chapter 2. That's the body. That's the case. And he now installed. Look at how he installed it there. He said, and breathe. That is the installation of the spirit into the body. He breathe. He said, well, if you see software, you realize that, oh, you click on execution button, the software begins to run and is installed in that hardware. That's how come you can use your Microsoft Word. That's why you can use your Excel, because it's installed in the hardware. But it's not the hardware. It's meant to be part of that hardware, to make that hardware function well. So the spirit was imputed into man, into the body of man. So you are not the body. You are a spirit being. You live in a body. I hope you've seen something right now. So he created man. Then he formed the body of man out of the dust. The spirit was not formed out of the dust. That is why the spirit is eternal. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how you would then know what I'm saying is the right thing is this. Go to that same Genesis chapter 2. Give me somewhere from verse 8 and look at what the Bible says there. Genesis 2, verse 8. Or verse 17, sorry. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Are you still with me? Thou shalt surely what? So the question I want to ask you is this. What died? What died when man ate that fruit? What died? Because God cannot lie. Well, let's do some work together. Are you ready? That's why we're in church. Are you ready to do some work together with me? Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Let's see what died. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, watch, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Remember, God said, when you eat it, you shall surely what? You shall surely what? So we're about to see that death that took place. Okay, so you took of the fruit thereof and did eat. No, she has now eaten the fruit. And the Lord said, when you eat of it, what will happen? Please respond. What will happen? You will die. Okay, so go. So let's see. And gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Now, let's see. Both of them have now eaten the fruits. So let's see the next thing that happened. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew they were naked. Now, what died? No. Now, if their eyes opened, it means that they were not dead. Are you with me? Did the body die? Because if a dead body cannot open and close the eyes, you will run away. Am I right? Good. Then the next thing you see that, and they knew they were naked. That means their knowledge, their mind did not die. Because they still knew something. They knew, that is knowledge. They knew they were naked. And they sewed fig tree leaves together and made themselves aprons. So you see, they have intelligence. They still have their will. And their hands were still functioning. But so you could see that now the body did not die. Neither did the soul die. Because they were still working. Verse 8. And they heard, you see here was still working. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the in the cool of the day. Now they heard the voice of, so that means they can, their mind was still working. They knew who God was. They still recognized. Intelligence was still working. Every faculty of their being was still working. And look at what they did now. And Adam and his wife eat themselves from the presence of the Lord. They were making decisions. They were still making decisions. Alright? So then, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Then verse 7, and he said, the voice was walking, the mind was still working, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Which part of us is always afraid? The body or the soul? The body or the soul? Now, but the Bible says they were dead. So it's either God lied or something is not clear yet. Because how can a dead person still be relating with God? Because God said you shall surely die when you eat it. But now we can see knowledge is still at work. Physical body is still at work. But what died? What died? The spirit was dead. You see, death is not just unconsciousness. In the term of the Bible, actually, death also means eternal separation. 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 So that is why you see, for instance, when someone's died physically, what happened is that he's separated from this world. You see that everything is still there, but the person can no longer relate with us. Nothing is active. It's called separation, eternal separation. So, oftentimes, when we hear of the word death, we use our knowledge of physical death to think that the person will totally lose consciousness and is not active. No, actually, when you see somebody that is unconscious, you realize that actually what is happening is that there's a separation from the body. Something has been taken away from that body. That's why the body is no longer active. So you see, when God said you will die, they will die, what is saying that a part of them will be severed from him, will be separated from him for life. He will no longer be able to connect with them. The supernatural part of God, whatever it is that was so special about God, is no longer going to be with them. And that was why you see that when God then said, God now had to even physically separate, they said, leave this garden. Why? Because you see, that garden represents the place of fellowship with God. It represents the place where God comes to relate with them. So you see that when God, by the time God finished judging them, to literally understood the, what has taken place, God said to them, move away from this garden. Because you see, that garden represents the place God relates with them. The place of communion. The place of fellowship. The place of intimacy. So their relationship with God was severed. Now, look at what Jesus then said. Or the word of God then said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Watch it again. Old things are what? Behold, all things have become what? Now, I believe quite a number of us are saved. The day you gave your life to Christ, you became born again. Did your body pass away? Did your body pass away? Oh, so you had your body intact, right? So that is why we are still here. So when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, you didn't just say, prum, and we didn't see you again. But the Bible says, all things passed away. All things have become new. So it's not your body that passed away. Now let's go to the next one, the soul. When you gave your life to Christ, do you still feel what you used to feel? Yes, you realize that you still have the same feeling. You still have the same thoughts. You still knew the people you used to know. In fact, this is where the spiritual birth is so important to understand. I gave my life to Christ more than 20 times because I didn't understand this concept. So each time the pastor makes altar call, I hear and I about my sin and I'm aware. So who wants to give his life to Christ? I will go again. In fact, every Sunday, all right, when they make altar calls sometimes, I believe some people will just look at me. It's going again. Because I was just being honest. But nobody explained to me that, you see, that new birth is not my soul that will pass away. I didn't understand. Because, you see, what happens to me is that by the time I go to school on Monday, I still had the same feelings. I still like to fight. I still like to lie. I still do a lot of wrong, you know, all the things that I used to do. But when I get to church, you know, there is this feeling of awe and reverence that comes upon me. And I remember praying, Lord, if I give my life to you again this Sunday, just take me. Let me die. Because, you see, I was so afraid to go back. Listen to me. When you give your life to Christ, the feeling was not going to go away. But the thing that will take place is that, so we've seen that all things that passed away is not your feeling. It's not your mind. It's not your body. But something took place in your spirit. The old spirit that was there, that had been severed from God. What then happened the day you gave your life to Christ is that the spirit of Christ comes to dwell in that spirit. Your spirit man is what experienced the new life. Look at what the Bible, how the Bible puts it here. Let me give you something in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I like the way it's put there. It says somewhere in Romans chapter 8. I want to give you something. It's good. It says, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. When man died, the spirit of God left him. He still had a spirit, but Bible calls it because of the absence of the spirit of God, he was a dead man. Now, when he became born again, the spirit of God came to dwell in you. So it says, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So when you became born again, is the spirit of God. Is somebody with me? Is the spirit of God that came to now dwell in your spirit. So you have the spirit of Christ in you. Is somebody with me? That is what makes you alive. Now, why did I go all this route to explain this to you? Is because without an understanding of these basics, your Christian life cannot be victorious. So, when the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, what's now the difference? The difference now is this. The carnal mind or the carnal man has all his senses, his mind, trained from the outer world. That's why we go to school. So when you go to school, the man stands and begins to teach you. He's working on your mind. He's training your mind. Then the five senses governs the operation of your mind. So you feel it, you sense it, you taste it. So you see, the man that is not born again, what governs his life, what rules his life, is the physical senses, the five senses. The five senses is what informs it. So when we go to school, what happens is we train and refine those five senses. And those five senses feed our mind with the knowledge. So when they say 2 + 2, you say it's 4. And some of us, when we see, when we perceive heat, so when you are using an iron, your mind, your that feeling tells you that this thing will harm you. So our life is governed by the operation of the five senses. But listen to me. When you became born again, the Spirit of God has now come to dwell in you. If you still want to live by the rulership of the physical senses, you cannot experience the life of God. Why? Because John chapter 4 says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him, they that want to relate with him, must worship him in spirit, not in their feelings, not with their emotions, but in spirit and in truth. What is truth? The Bible says your word is truth. So we relate with God with our spirit. So you see, the spiritual mind now on this on now has to train his mind from the spirit realm. You have to then govern your mind from the spirit realm. Now let me say this about that new the Spirit of God. When that Spirit of God comes to dwell in you, it came with faith. Faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, according to the measure of faith that is given to every man. When you became born again, that Spirit of God that comes to dwell in you birthed in you faith. It's called the spirit of faith. You became born again exercising that faith. What is faith? Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the spirit man was infused with faith. What is faith? Faith is the ability to believe in what you cannot see, in what you cannot feel. Faith is absolute trust in the unseen, which is the word of God. Faith is that you believe that whatever the word of God says is true. Now, faith is of the spirit. It's not of the feeling. You receive faith into spirit. You have faith, my brother. That is why we are called believers. Remember what I talked to you about believing. Believing is putting your faith to work. Believing is operating your faith. Believing is acting on your faith. Faith is in you. It's not the place that faith dwells. It's not in your feelings. It's not in your mind. It's not in your emotion. Faith dwells in your spirit. So you take faith, and from that place, it begins to inform your mind. Your soul is supposed to be fed from your spirit. The carnal mind is fed from his five senses. The spiritual man is fed from his spiritual senses. That is the difference. So when you say you are a child of God, the primary source of your information should be where? From the spirit world. That is faith. You believe what God says. Even if you cannot feel it, You cannot taste it. You cannot perceive it. You cannot hear it. Even when it doesn't make sense. Those are operations of the physical senses. You believe it is true. You see, as you keep believing, then you take what is there in the realm of the spirit, and your mind will now begin to comprehend that something is taking place here. He doesn't know where it's coming from. That is why they use the word miracle. Miracle means that which cannot be explained by logic. That which cannot be explained by the laws of man governing the universe. The supernatural, you see, is the one that is above the natural, above and beyond natural. That is what is called supernatural. In other words, it's above the natural senses. It's above what I can see. It's above what I can feel. It's above what I can touch. It's above what my mind can comprehend. But yet, it's still happening. So they looked at it, they said, we cannot explain it in the lab. We cannot explain it in according to the monetary terms. Economists cannot explain it. But yet, the guy is prospering. Yet the guy is doing well. Yet the sickness is gone. But he has not used any drug. It is what? Supernatural. That super is from the spirit world. That's the only thing that can explain it. It's there in you as a child of God. It's what you have in you. So you don't receive from God through your physical senses. You receive from God through your spirit man. And what is it that you receive? You receive the word of God. You receive the word of God. So you see then, God showed us how to live our lives. Genesis, you realize Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, He said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He said, it doesn't matter that you have a problem. What are you saying to your problem? And God said, let there be what? Light. You see, he said something in the spirit. Then, in the physical, do you know what light is? Light is that which we can relate with. We can see. But before we can see, it took place in the spiritual first. Let there be light. And there was light. God showed us how we can live. So if you are a child of God, you must live like God. Now look at Jesus also. Jesus came, and the Bible introduced Jesus as the living word. And said, and the word became flesh. And what did Jesus do? Jesus looked at the eyes of a blind man. Physically, the man is blind. Naturally, the doctor said he's blind. Even the physical eyes is not working. But Jesus knows that there is a software that can control the physical hardware. If that software is properly installed, when I type on my keyboard, I will see what I'm typing on the screen. And Jesus believed that the software controls the hardware. The spiritual controls the physical. So Jesus, having the word of God, he is the word of God himself, said, blind eyes, be open. He spoke to the blind eyes, and the eyes that was blind, that blind eyes go here. Because you see, what created what we can see was what we cannot see. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 gave it to me, please. He said, by faith we understand the oppression that the world was framed, brought to existence. He said the world was framed by the word of God. Now, if the word was framed by the word of God, it means everything that is encapsulated in that world were also framed by the word of God. And if your problem, your challenges, your trouble exist in the realm of this fair called world, that means every problem can be solved by the word of God. Hallelujah. Every problem answers to the word. Because you see, your problem, unless your problem is bigger than the world itself, unless your problem exists outside of this world, but if what created the world was the word and everything, there is no problem you have that the word of God cannot solve. Is somebody understanding this? So no wonder Jesus could speak to the blind eyes and blindness appeared. Don't you realize, even when you look at your phone, You send a message now and somebody in Australia receives it. No. Can you comprehend that? What is making that happen? If human being, I was showing, you know, we installed Starlink satellite dish recently in our church. And I told the guys, I said, look at this dish. It's a high-speed internet. It's just facing a satellite we cannot see. And it's download, it's connected and giving us fast internet, fast data. We cannot see it, but it's working. I said, this is what happens with our spirit. You can't see God, but your spirit is connected to God. You must understand that. You see, human being can do something that can work that powerfully. How much more the God of heaven is our, even though it's there. But you see, when I say, Father, you see, anywhere I am, there is a download in my spirit. Yes. Now, this is where you need to get it right as I want to close right now. If then you want to receive from God, everything is founded in the Word. Now, how do you have to operate in the Word? Let me show you. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Look at how it happened. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, what is it then? The Word is nigh thee. Even in thy what? Even in what? Are you there? Let's read it together, everybody. Let's read it together. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. 1, 2, go. What said it then? Yes? Yes? Okay. Even in thy what? And in where? Where is the heart now? Your spirit. Now, let's take somebody that has a need for healing. The Bible says, what saith the word of God? That the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy what? Heart. Now, verse 9, look at it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe. Now, in thy heart, watch, I'm going to explain to you. That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Let me explain what just took place here. Now the Bible says, listen, that with your heart you believe, not with your feelings. So you see, when I say a man is sick, his body is saying you are sick. The soul is saying you are sick. But the spirit is not sick. So he doesn't believe with his feelings. Because you see, his feelings can deceive him. But he believes from where? The heart. Now, as he believes in his heart that God has healed me, then he begins to confess. Do you know what confession does? Confession transports what is in the realm of the spirit that you cannot see, that you cannot feel, that you cannot even touch. Confession is the transportation of the resources from the spirit world into the realm of the feeling and into the physical realm. So as you begin to confess, I am healed in the name of Jesus, you are transporting the healing virtue from the spirit world into the realm where you can feel it and into the realm of the senses. So you don't have to feel it. You just believe with your heart. You start acting on the word from your heart, not from your feeling. The problem is that most of us, we want to start acting from our feeling. So when pastor is preaching, you feel goosebumps. So no, God is there. When you are not feeling it, you say God is not there. No, man believes with the what? Heart. You believe with the heart. So I don't need to feel it, but I know God has done it. I don't need to feel it, but I know he's working it out. Everything looks so disastrous. Everything looks as though nothing is changing. But I know that for me to see that turnaround, I have to believe in my heart. Then what do I have to do? Transport it. I said transport it. You take hold of what is there in the spirit realm and begin to transport it into the natural realm. I said, I am here.
healed. I am healed. I am healed in the name of Jesus. But your body said, no, the headache is still there. The stomachache is there. Say, no, that is not what I'm believing. Man, believe with the heart. I cannot feel sickness in my spirit. There is no sickness in my spirit. Why? You are acting on the word. Confessing the word is transporting the resources of heaven into the physical realm. That is the place of victory. You are a spirit man. You are not a feeling. I said you are not a feeling. You are not a feeling. Hallelujah. So if you're sick and I pray for you right now, I say in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. All right. What has just heard me is your spirits. But you need to command your senses to obey. Because our senses can, we have been trained before we became born again to operate by those senses. So you can feel nothing has changed, but you laugh and say, in the name of Jesus, the word of God has come to me that I am healed. My flesh, you must obey. My flesh, you must obey. Every thought that is exalted itself against the knowledge of God, I command you to bow to the authority of the word of God. Healing is manifesting in my body. Healing is manifesting in my body. You know, there are times instantly you feel it. Thank God. But you see, do you realize that sometimes when you put the seed into the ground, you have to believe that it's going to grow. Anyone that does not believe that the seed is going to grow cannot explain the harvest. So you have planted the seed of the word, but you look around and say, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. So you want, after 2 days, you went to go and uproot the seed to check whether, is this thing really going to work? No. As a farmer, you believe that your own is to plant that seed in your spirit and begin to transport it by the arrangement of God. He knows the principles that will make the life from that seed come out. You don't need to doubt it. It's going to work. What if? No. A farmer that says, what if we go and uproot the seed? You know, day one, you may not see something. Day two, you may not see something. Day three, you may not see something. But somehow, after believing and living the word, brother, do you have a job? Say, I have a job. I have a job already. I have a job already. But where's the job? It's coming. The Lord is telling me. Angels are bringing it to me. I have a job. I have my marriage already. Where is your ring? I said, it's coming to me. I know, but we can't see. No, I don't need to see it before I believe it, because I have the ability to believe. Faith is inside of me. I'm a man of faith. Faith is the substance, is the physical matter, the substance of things hoped for. I am hoping for it, then I'm confessing it, I'm transporting it, I'm bringing it to bear. Let me share something with you before we close. Why most of us don't then see results when we quote the word of God is because what we are doing is to recite the scripture. You don't have to recite the scripture. You respond to the scripture. There are two different things. So, for instance, the reason why most Christians don't see results in the word is that the word tells you who you are. Then you are to confess that I believe that that is who I am. So the Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you go and check the Greek word, it's homologia. It means to say the same thing in agreement with God. So for instance, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now you are just reciting it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No, it's good, but there's a better way. The right way is that you believe that you don't have any want. So, oh, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is the shepherd of my life. I have no wants. I have no want. All my needs are met. All my needs are met. What are you doing? You are responding to the word. If I give you food and say, hey, do you believe that this food contains vitamin C? You say, I believe. Do you believe that this food contains vitamin A? Say, I believe. But what do you do to experience the nutrient? You carry it. What are you doing? You are responding. You You don't need to know how what is going on. But somehow you see that after you eat the food, God has put that arrangement in place. Whatever vitamin or nutrient is in that food begins to benefit your body. You see, that is how we grew. It's the same thing with the word. You start responding. That's why we have what we call confession of faith in our church. You see, when we say, I am a royal, I enjoy the best. I'm a child of the King. I can never be defeated. Lies are falling unto me in pleasant places. You see, what we are doing is to respond to the word of God. We are responding to it. God has said it. Now I'm believing it. I'm acting on it. I'm responding. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't need to know how he's going to do it, but I'm prophesying over you this month of May. Everything that represents disappointment in your life is over this month. Everything that represents disappointment, I declare it is over this month. 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 They say the Lord is by his stripes I am healed. Say, by his stripes I am healed. What should I say? Yes, Lord, healing is mine. I'm walking in divine health. Now I'm prophesying to somebody. I came here to say to you that whatever is not working in your life, everything you desire to work, but it has been stagnant for so long, everything that you desire to work, that is not working, I speak the word of God into every stagnant situation, into everything that is failing. And I say in the name of Jesus, rise and begin to walk.
Amen.
Begin to walk.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
How many of you are ready to respond to the word?
Oh yes.
How many of you are going to respond to the word?
Oh yes.
Stand to your feet with me. We are going to be praying.
Mantaya.
Victory is yours this month. I want you to know it already. You don't have to feel it. You are a spirit man. You don't have to feel it before you see it. We see what we confess. The word is becoming flesh. So lift your voice and say, My Father, my God, I thank you.
I thank you
for the operation of your word in my life.
I
thank you.
I thank you
for your word. It's bringing results. I thank you.
I thank you.
Word is productive in my life. I receive your word.
I receive your word.
I believe your word.
I believe your word.
I respond to your word.
I respond to your word.
I just thank you for your word. The word of God is the seed of faith. With the seed of faith. He's the seed of faith. He's the seed of faith. God is the seed of faith. Now I want you to know that you need to take this word and believe the word.
Oh yes.
When you leave this meeting, I'm about to give you the word of God for this month. Now I want you to just respond to it. Act on it. Don't doubt it.
Oh yes.
Regardless of what may be happening.
Oh yes.
Psalm 46. We are going to take the word that God has given to us, and we are going to say the same thing that God has said concerning us. And we are going to respond to it with our spirit. And everywhere you go, you can make it a daily confession. Take Psalm 46 and may begin to declare it. Because you see, the word will become flesh. It's going to produce one that God has done for you. Psalm 46 from verse 1.
Oh, yes.
God is our refuge and strength.
Amen.
A very present help in trouble.
Oh, yes.
A present help in trouble.
Oh, yes.
A present help in trouble.
Oh, yes.
A present help in trouble.
Oh, yes.
What is trouble?
Oh, yes.
That which comes to rival with you.
Oh, yes.
Trouble is like another wife that has come in.
Oh, yes.
That wants to take the place of peace.
Oh, yes.
Now I want you to declare. You see, you are going to start declaring over your life. And you are going to respond. You say, it's a present help.
Oh, yes.
In time of trouble. That means every trouble that comes to you, the help of God is there for you. The help of God is abounding for you. Lift up your voice and say with me, say, the Lord is my refuge.
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 And my present help.
And my present help.
In time of trouble.
In time of trouble. Right now.
Every troubling situation.
Every troubling situation.
The Lord is my Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my help.
Receive the help of God.
The triumph. Troubling situation.
I am triumphing.
An end has come to you. Because the Lord is helping me. Because the Lord is helping me. Go ahead and declare right now. Receive the help of God. From the epic troubling situation. Receive the help into your spirit. Receive the help of God into your spirit. Yes. Say another thing in agreement with the word of God. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her.
Oh, yes.
She shall not be moved.
Oh, yes.
God shall help her.
Oh, yes.
And that right early.
Oh, yes.
God shall help her in this month of May.
Oh, yes.
In this month of May, God is helping me. In this month of May, in all my endeavors, I receive the help of God.
I claim
the help of God.
The help of God
is answering for me. The help of God. He's answering for me. Go ahead and make that declaration. Claim the help of God. I am accepted of God. The help of God is my portion. The help of God is my portion. The help of God is my portion.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
In Jesus' name, we are praying.
Now bring out your digital device, your phones. Proverbs 25, verse 25 says, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Oh, yes.
So is good news from a far country.
Oh, yes.
You are going to declare over your devices.
Oh, my,
say, in this month of May,
in this month of May,
I declare good news are coming to my
home. Goodness are coming
this
to my
is the month.
This is the month.
Good news.
Good news.
Lift up your devices. Now the word of the Lord runneth swiftly.
Yes.
But God watches over his word to perform it.
Oh, yes.
Now I send forth the word of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Into your life.
Oh, yes.
Even into your digital space.
Oh, yes.
And I declare,
I receive,
because Jesus is Lord over all things,
oh, yes,
that in this month of May,
oh, yes,
good news will come through to
you.
From far and near,
oh, yes,
every form of good news you desire,
oh, yes,
is coming to you right,
amen,
now. Receive your own good news.
Amen.
Receive your own good news.
Amen.
You will need good news of job. Miracle jobs. Good news of contracts. Good news of proposal. Every form of good news,
oh, yes,
you desire,
oh, yes,
I call it forth. It's coming to you right,
amen,
now. Coming to you right,
amen,
now. He's coming to you right,
amen,
now. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Super important. And I block by the power of God.
Oh, yes.
Negative news.
Oh, yes.
Bad news.
Oh, yes.
Sorrowful news.
Oh, yes.
Disastrous news.
Oh, yes.
Weeping news.
Oh, yes.
Morning news.
Oh, yes.
It will not come to you this morning.
Oh,
in the name of Jesus,
amen,
it shall not come to you this month. In the name of,
amen,
Jesus, in the name of,
amen,
Jesus, now I declare, this is the month of mighty turnaround testimony. Mighty turnaround testimony. Mighty turnaround testimony. Every area you desire, mighty turnaround. I declare, the God of mighty turnaround is giving your own testimony. Receive your own mighty testimony. Testimony now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mighty turnaround. In your career. In your marital space. In your business. In your home. In every area of your life. Let there be mighty turnaround. In the name of Jesus. Let there be mighty turnaround. In the name of Jesus. Before next Sunday,
oh, yes,
you are returning with your own testimony.
Amen.
Anyone called sick, you are liberated from sickness to
heal. Oh, yes.
My God is doing mighty things for you.
Oh, yes.
And lift your hand and say, I claim my mighty turnaround.
I claim my mighty turnaround.
I believe it, mighty turnaround.
I believe it, mighty turnaround.
Claim it right now.
I claim my mighty turnaround.
Claim it to your strength. Claim it to your heart. I believe in my heart.
Claim my mighty turnaround.
Claim my mighty turnaround.
Claim my mighty turnaround. I claim my mighty turnaround. I am the money. 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 I am the money
Anyone in financial crisis?
Oh yes.
Anyone in debt?
Oh yes.
By the word of the Lord.
Oh yes.
This month.
Oh, yeah.
You are liberated.
Yeah.
This month,
oh, yes.
The help of the Lord is answered for you.
Yeah.
This month,
oh, yes.
I declare,
I receive
the abundance of God.
Oh, yes.
Is terminating financial struggle in your
yeah.
life. Anyone called jobless?
Oh, yes.
This is your month of miracle joy. Every area you desire laughter.
Oh yes.
I declare,
I receive
that laughter is taking place. This
month. Amen.
Is your month of mighty turnover.
Amen.
Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.